Welcome to episode 185 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In last week's show, I was telling you all about how I got on at one of two recent outdoors industry events. On that occasion, it was the Outdoor Trade Show. Now, this week, I'm featuring my trip to Kielder in Northumberland, where this year's Outdoor Writers and Photographers Guild AGM was held. A lot of ideas were shared over the course of that weekend, and I'm going to be sharing a few of them with you here as well. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 185. It's just coming up to 1:30 in the afternoon, and as I record this, it is a Monday. Now, it has been a very, very busy past week and weekend, and as I record this, you will have already heard from me about the outdoor trade show, which was held, as I record this, last week at Stoneleigh Park in Warwickshire. What I did after Stoneleigh Park was to carry on up the country another 4 and a bit hours up to Kielder, to the National Forest area up there, where it was the Writers and Photographers, the Outdoor Writers and Photographers Guild AGM event. So basically, it was from the Friday through to the Sunday, and some of us stayed over to leave today, the Monday. And so you will have already heard about OTS, so I won't repeat myself on that, but I thought I'd just talk a little bit about the OWPG event. It's all about letters at the moment. This was the OWPG AGM. So just a bit of an overview about that, and sort of tie it in with one of the things that was central to the talk that I gave. There were a series of sort of not workshops, but a couple of presentations, and then a Q&A session after each. And I'll get to that in a minute, but the OWPG has members from all around the country, and for me, obviously, I was probably one of the furthest travelling members, but others were within, you know, within half an hour or less, or what have you. And the AGM actually moves around the country each year. So what was important for me was to catch up with people that I already know and just have a chat and, you know, share ideas and all this sort of thing. But also there are a lot of people that were there who I know of them, but I've never actually met. So where we were staying, there was the option to stay at some other places. There was a campsite, and there was a place where I stayed which had chalets and what have you. The reason actually that I stayed there rather than camping is I was told that the campsite had no Wi-Fi, what was the other thing, and no phone signal, so just so that I could be in touch with home in case there was any real emergency or anything like that, I wanted to make sure that I was contactable. As it turns out, where I was staying, there was no Wi-Fi. There was some Wi-Fi. It wasn't particularly good, but at least I could send the odd email if I wanted. There was no phone signal, because it was only just up the road, actually, from the campsite. I didn't know this. But there was a payphone, so each day I phoned home just to check and say hi and all the rest of it. So for me, there was important reasons to be up there. And as I say, some people I knew of, but had never met them. And it's interesting. One of the chaps that was staying in the same chalet as me, and there were about six people per chalet. He is a writer who, funnily enough, one of his books, a fairly recent one, is on my Amazon wish list, and it's something that I've asked for my birthday this year, and all this sort of thing. And it was, you know, you just don't realise. I'd never met the guy before, never seen him, and it was only when there was a meal in the evening, one evening, and as happens, there are sort of awards given out, sort of for recognition and all this sort of thing. And he won an award for this particular book. And at that moment, it clicked. I thought, oh, you're that guy. So, you know, we were back at the chalet just chatting, and we were talking all about wild camping and the legalities, or the considerations, shall we say, of being able to wild camp in this country and all the rest of it. It's a very interesting topic. So that was really nice, kind of to catch up with him. And you know, he's not far from me. He's actually, I say not far, he's based in Essex, and of course I'm nowhere near Essex, but I'm down on the south coast, so relatively speaking he is quite close, just a matter of a few hours, you know, maybe about 3 and a bit hours, something like that, I don't know. And so that was really nice. I mentioned that there are people that I already knew, but hadn't spoken to for a while, so it's nice to catch up. And then one chap who's a writer and video production guy and broadcaster, we were just sat there talking over dinner, having had, I think earlier that day, I believe it was, he had given a presentation about how he approaches writing. And then it sort of morphed into video production and all this sort of thing. But it turns out that he and I, the way that we approach pitching ideas for features, researching, thinking laterally about ideas, and also how we approach the likes of Twitter and using that as a tool for getting our message out or connecting with people and researching and asking for help and all this sort of thing with projects, are very, very similar. So that was interesting. Although I've known him for some while, you know, I learnt something about the way he works. So that was really good. And I was trying to think, because this is quite a general sort of overview of the weekend. It's interesting that what was important for me is that, relatively speaking, I am quite a new member of the OWPG. I've thought about joining for quite some time, never got round to it. And then at the time where, funny enough, this same chap that I was talking to over dinner about things, he said, you know, have you put your application in yet? And I said, no, not yet. I said, I'm waiting for my website to be finished and updated and this and that. And he said, look, just do it, because we know who you are. People are aware of you. People have seen your work. Some of them, such as him, you know, even know you as a person, and you are the right fit. You're exactly the sort of person that really we would like to have as a member. Just put your application in and do it. And that's kind of how I came to do it. Then, ahead of this AGM event, a fellow photographer who's sort of on the sort of committee and arranges stuff said, look, would you, it's always nice to hear from the new blood, would you be interested in doing a small little presentation? Then it opens up to a Q&A and what have you. And I thought, do you know what, yes, I have to drive a long way, but it's important for me to meet new people and within the industry and talk over sort of issues and topics that are important to all of us. But equally, I thought it was important for existing members to be able to meet me. Now, I don't mean that to sound at all vain or anything. The point is, all of these organizations, they're only as good as their members' input. It's that old adage that you get out what you put in. So I wanted to kind of almost make it clear, really, that a lot of you know, look, I do a podcast regularly. I do public speaking stuff. I'm, you know, in and amongst people all the time for photography, and when I'm working on written pieces and stories, you know that I'm not a shy, retiring sort who, if I'm in a room with people, will just sit in the corner and let everyone else do the talking. I am quite a private person, and sometimes I can be a bit shy, but it was, you know, I wanted people to be able to just to kind of, for the sake of the network or of writers and photographers around the country, just to be able to say, look, here I am, this is what I do, I'd love to talk to any of you if I can be of assistance, or even if you're sort of coming down my part of the country, or I happen to be somewhere and we can meet up for a coffee or go for a wild camp or anything like this. For those of you that don't know, a wild camp is basically camping out somewhere that is not a sort of designated, constructed campsite. So typically sort of on a hillside somewhere, there's no running water unless it's a stream, no toilet blocks, you're just a self-sufficient. That, of course, will be nothing new to a lot of you listening. So that was, it was just really good and really nice. And as I say, it was a long way for me to drive, but I think it was completely worth it. Now, let me get to, before I forget, I should, if I haven't mentioned already, I'm about 2.5 hours into my drive and I've got about 4 hours left. So quite a long drive ahead still. But before I forget, I just want to talk about what I mentioned before about something that was kind of central to my little presentation. And that was the idea of collaboration. And if you haven't guessed, probably by the way that I've just been talking about the event as a whole, and also what came before it at the at OTS, further down country, I was talking about the importance of collaborating. Now, a lot of you that are listening to this primarily for the photography aspect, a lot of you will be aspiring photographers. You want to go into the industry, whatever part of the industry it is. It might be shooting for business, it might be as a travel photographer, it might be a product photographer, anything like that. But there is this misconception, either from people that are new to it or from those that have been doing it a long time even, and there are some of those at this event, there is sometimes this assumption, I suppose, that if you're a photographer or writer and you're going to shoot pictures and write words and all the rest of it, that should be paid work, because that is your job, that is your career, that is excuse me, that is what you do. But of course, if all we ever did was wait for those commissions to roll in, or obviously you know, try to drum up business, it would be awfully dull, because we just, as much as we like that work, we'd just be doing the commissioned work, and you would never really move on. So what I was trying to impress upon people is that, do you know what? Sometimes for increasing your people's awareness of you, discovering opportunities, broadening your own horizons, and as I said, ultimately, the fact that it's fun, and surely that's why you should be doing what you enjoy, is because you love it. The point I was making is that sometimes, if you just think laterally and ask around and talk to people you know locally and all this sort of thing, you can suggest going off and doing an overnight camping trip or arranging a photo shoot that is just for shooting for your portfolio. I have spoken about this quite a bit in the past, as a lot of you will know. It's really, really important. And often, by collaborating, as I say, you end up meeting new people that also say, oh, that, you know, we, you know, that's interesting. I know a chap that you ought to speak to. He's, you know, I don't know. I'll give you a hypothetical example. Say I was doing a piece on the South Downs about some, I don't know, local folklore or something. I could be sort of that down there, and I might be in a church, and I got chatting to the vicar, for example, and I might say, oh, so, you know, sort of, I'm just passing through and, you know, seeing what's in the area. And he might say, oh, well, you must stop off down in the village, because there's a tiny little shop, and the lady there, she sells all these candles and homemade jam, and the candles she makes in a little shed in a garden. Now, to me, and this wouldn't be for everyone, but to me, I at that point, I would be interested to know more about this lady that makes this jam and candles, because I know there are markets for stories all around the country and all around the world that is all about these little industries, you know, people sort of working from home and all this sort of thing. And the point being, if I hadn't stopped to talk to that man in the church and he didn't recommend speaking to these people, that would just be that. And so as someone who puts together stories, I could come up with maybe 5 stories in the year, but there'll be many, many others because of the collaborations that I have, whether it's by chance like that or by doing some research. Someone's alarm going off. Ah, there we go. So do you see how it works? You have to keep an open mind, in much the same way that, it's a bit of a tangent, I guess, but people that say, oh, you know, X camera brand is the best because this is what sports photographers use, or da da da, what have you. At the end of the day, keep an open mind, and you'll find that people have differing opinions, and you'll have some people that share the same opinion and others that don't. Some that can help you with your choices by recommending this, that, and the other, or person A, B, or C, and others that won't be so helpful. So there were a number of people that came up to me after my little presentation who are well established, actually, some of them within the outdoor photography and writing world, who said, you know, that's really got me thinking. And I said, well, that's good. You know, that's what I was hoping, is that one of the things that came up in conversation in other times is people have from time to time referred to me as an expert in whatever it is I might be talking about. Now, I, as I've mentioned before, kind of, it feels a bit odd when people say how good I happen to be at, I know, taking pictures or whatever it is, because it's not that I can't take a compliment, but I think, well, I'm just okay, I'm doing what I do, and I'm happy with the results I'm getting, and that's just through hard graft learning my craft. Now, it is not, and I really do believe this, it is not for a person to say to others that they themselves are an expert, or worse still, a guru. The accolade of expert in any industry or subject or sport or whatever it might be, that accolade should come from other people. from an outsider. It's not for you to put yourself up there and say, I am an expert. Nothing wrong with saying that you are knowledgeable in the field of dot, dot, dot. That's fine, because we all like to blow our own trumpets a bit. For me, knowing that I have certain skill sets and knowledge, I like to be able to pass that on to help other people. But certainly don't just stand there saying how amazing you are, because people just think you're just really pretentious and they won't want to talk to you, and certainly they won't want to collaborate with you because they think, what an idiot. So, excuse me. So I gave this little presentation, then there was a bit of a Q&A afterwards, and I won't go into the details too much. Now, during the course of that, I recorded that presentation, and it was only about 20 something minutes long because there were a number of speakers and the idea was to keep it to about 15 to 20 something minutes. Now, I didn't have a little, often what I do if I talk is I'll clip a microphone to my top or my t-shirt or whatever, and so the audio is should be pretty clear. For one reason or another, I didn't get to do that this time, but what I did do is just leave my audio recorder on the table in front of me, making sure that I was never that far away from it. I haven't had a chance to listen back to the audio. I'm guessing that it's going to be pretty good, like the quality of the sound and what have you. It was a slightly echoey room, and there's a little bit of tweaking that I might be able to do to kind of reduce that effect or that type of sound a little bit. If I feel that I'm happy with the quality of it, because I thought I'd just take a punt, if I'm happy with the quality, what I will do is I'll be sharing that with you shortly, and it'll probably take the form of another podcast, I would imagine. I'm not saying as I record this, or as you're listening to this, I'm not saying that it would definitely be next week's show, but like I say, if I think the quality's there and I'm happy with it, then I will share it with you, because some of the things that I talked about, just judging by the reaction of people in the room, are worthwhile thoughts and ideas surrounding the idea of collaborating, both for in terms of building your profile and generating income. Now, collaborating for profile shouldn't just be about piggybacking the success of others and being seen with those people, and all of a sudden it benefits you. It should be a 50-50 two-way sort of thing. Collaborating for profit, of course, well, that can be, as I say, that can be where all of those involved stand to gain financially, or it's again just creating opportunities which lead to billable content or services, whether you're shooting commercially or creating feature articles or what have you. But you know, and I thought an interesting topic. I was kind of the new guy, as it were. People hadn't seen me at one of the OWPG AGMs. So, you know, we had the usual. Someone was talking about copyright issues. Someone was talking about sort of generating, sort of just getting out there and shooting, and slightly more technical, a little bit about how you create sort of images and come up with ideas and think on your feet and all this. So the ideas were fairly loose. So I thought, actually, we're all at this event to network, to talk to one another, have conversations which may lead to something or may not, what have you. And I'll give you a prime example. So a lot of you know that I am based on the South Coast here in the UK. Just off the South Coast, opposite Portsmouth, you have a place called the Isle of Wight, which is not very big. It's 20 something miles across, both in north and west, so north, south, east and west, you know, and you have to take the ferry across there, whether you're a foot passenger or you take the car. And just in conversation, funnily enough, a little bit in the last few days, but over breakfast this morning, the conversation sort of escalated a bit to a point whereby a few people were saying, do you know what, I would really like to go to the Isle of Wight, somewhere I've never been. You know, I've heard good things about it and all rest of it. So it's been suggested that possibly, and there's nothing absolutely firm at this point at all, it's too early to say, but it has been suggested that maybe we, the OWPG, holds, if not their next, then maybe a future AGM weekend on the Isle of Wight. And of course, you know, I am so, relatively speaking, compared to those the way up country, I'm very local. And I said, look, I'm more than happy to do what I can, all the rest of it. There are people that I know at various tourism boards and magazines and companies and all this sort of thing that I've said, you know what, I could easily send them an email. I could even go over to the Isle of Wight for the day, or have a weekend away or something, and arrange a meeting, just have a chat and all the rest of it. And that, again, you see, is by helping others, all the members of the OWPG for their next meeting, that puts me in front of people that I know on the Isle of Wight, and by collaborating and seeing how we can, or whether we would be able to make a future meeting possible over there, it's a collaboration. It puts you in front of people, it reminds people that you're there. It's that old sort of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's everyone stands to gain in a very positive way. So on that front, very early days, and if that is something that is likely to happen, of course, in the fullness of time, you will hear me talking about it. It might be a blog post, it might be a podcast and all the rest of it, in the usual fashion, you know, documenting what I'm doing, all the behind the scenes stuff. So that's kind of, you know, the central ideas surrounding this past weekend. So basically, I have been away for a week, and yeah, it's been a really, really positive and enjoyable week. Of course, I'm looking forward to getting home now, but hopefully those ideas that I've talked about just sort of in this last sort of half hour or so have raised an eyebrow, sparked something in you that have maybe got you thinking. I have certainly, there are a number of ideas that, again, I'll give you an example. I was talking to someone over dinner and we were talking about folklore. This is why I used folklore as an example earlier, just because it's on my mind. You know, there's anywhere in the country, there's old buildings, there's stories about ghosts and legend and urban folklore and all this sort of thing. And I was talking about a particular route, particular area down my way on the South Downs. And this chap, he leant across the table and he said, you have got to write this article. You just have to do it. And I said, I'm already on it. I said, I've got the idea. I've done a bit of research already. It's in my notebook or what have you. I said, it's going to happen. I just, you know, need to get back on it. So now, something that I've gained a lot actually out of this weekend, but something that I've come away with is I'm really looking forward now, once I'm back in my office, to going into my notebook that contains sort of feature ideas and all this sort of thing, digging out the bit of research that I've already done, and thinking about picking up where I left off, looking into it, going for a little walk, going to maybe take some initial pictures, see if I can get in touch with a number of key people that will be able to help me, maybe get who in the future I'll be able to get some quotes from and all this sort of thing. So, you know, I'm still too far away to be able to stop and just think about work. I mean, at this point, I will probably be home about 5 o'clock or something, so I won't want to do any work probably when I get back. So that will be something that has to wait. And realistically, because of the commitments I've got in the coming week, I don't know if I'll get round to looking into that idea before next week. So I've got a lot. I've got feature articles to submit. I've got invoicing to chase, people that have not paid up on time and all that sort of thing. I've got boring admin running your business type stuff to do. I won't go into that because it really is rather dull. It's to do with accounts and things. So, you know, but it's a spark that will still be there that I'm looking forward to getting on top of and, you know, taking up and carrying on. So all in, it's been a really, really, really productive weekend, really, really productive week. I mentioned previously about a lady who I met at OTS. She's based down in London. That's another exciting collaboration, talking about maybe doing some workshops for her and what she does with her business. Walks on the South Downs, just all this sort of thing. I see on Instagram today that she met up with one of the local MPs, who members of parliament, who is all about getting kids out there and all the rest of it. So that's really exciting. Whether I will, you know, get involved if anything like that. She says, oh, maybe you could come along and speak to such and such. Who knows? It's just, this is what I love about it. It's exciting because there are always opportunities, and all you've got to do to take advantage of those is to stay focused, keep working, to plan ahead when you need to think laterally. I know I've used that expression probably about 3 or 4 times now, but it is that. You think of an idea and you think, okay, I've seen that sort of idea before, or I could do this or that. But if you know that it's kind of obvious, or that someone is likely to have done it before, well, then thinking laterally is to think. That wonderful expression, I don't tend to use it, but a lot of people say thinking outside the box. Same thing, just being broad and open-minded, and you'll end up with as strong, if not stronger, an idea to move on with. So there we go. I have got a coffee by my side here. We'll have cooled down nicely now. As I say, I'm at some services. I didn't fancy sitting in the cafe bit there. I thought I'd just sit and record a bit of audio for you guys, finish off my coffee, and then hit the road again. And because I'm sensible about taking breaks, I'll drive for another couple of hours and stop for another coffee along the way. So there we go. I hope that's all been of interest. As always, do let me know if you've got any questions about any of the issues that I've discussed here. But for now, I will leave it there. I'll be sharing a selection of pictures from both of those recent events in a blog post shortly, so keep an eye out for that. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.